السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Our last class on our book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail ibn Ibrahim ibn Bardizba al-Bukhari rahimahullah was on the importance of learning our lineage so that we connect our ties of kingship. The importance of learning our lineage so that we could connect the ties of kinship, the ties of kindred. From the aspect of completing the discourses about connecting the ties of kinship is the discussion about a group of people that are still ascribed to us. There are a group of people apart from our fathers, our mothers, our uncles, aunts, brothers and sisters, and other relatives that we, with whom we are ascribed in lineage. There are some of the people that for one or two reasons, they are still ascribed to us. The Sharia counts these group of people as part of us in a way, even though they are not part of us like our brothers and our sisters and our uncles are. They are still a people who are a part of us. When they want to ascribe themselves to us, all that needs to be clear is that how are they connected to us? They are people who are connected to us in a way. So when they ascribe to us or to our family as relating to us, all that is required is that what the way they are connected to us should be made clear. Otherwise, there are people who are still connected to us. For example, our freed slaves are still connected to us. The freed slave of an individual is still connected to him. If a slave of an individual, for example, passes away, or his freed slave, we know that he will still be inherited by those who own him. That's why Al-Wala, just like we refer to our freed slaves as Mawla, Al-Wala is still one of the means of inheriting from a group of people because you have his Wala with you, apart from marriage and apart from lineage. People still inherit by marriage, just like a woman would inherit from her husband and vice versa. The same thing applies to Al-Wala. So these people are still connected to us in a way, just like our wives are connected to us in a way, just like those with whom we have treaties of being allies. People like in a community, the Arabs were used to having, and this is now lawful in our Sharia, the Arabs will have a tribe or a clan that they will make an agreement with. This agreement is upon support, upon goodness. You want to do one good thing, we'll do it together. You have an enemy who transgresses and aggresses against you, we'll protect ourselves together. This kind of an alliance, like in a treaty between two clans, between two families, between two major households, and like huge families, is referred to as al-hilf, because they will go into an agreement with it. So they are still connected, but they are connected upon an agreement, even though the connection is not like the connection of being a brother or being a sister or being a relative. So it is this connection that we are discussing today. People who are still connected to us, but not like the connection of family members. But they are so connected to us such that They are still ascribed to us in one way or the other. This is what we'll be discussing here today, inshallah. The connection of a group of people to us who are also connected to us, but not like the connection of family members, not like the connection of kith and kin, but they still ascribe themselves to us, they still ascribe themselves to our families one way or the other. So this chapter heading, Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah Muhammad ibn Ismail Abu Abdullah, he said, Babun hal yakulu al-Mawla inni min fulan. The chapter heading is about hal yakulu al-Mawla inni min fulan. Can a freed slave or anyone who will be called a Mawla? The meaning of a Mawla was drawn from the word al-Wala. And lexically, al-wala'u, lexically, linguistically, it means al-qurb, nearness. So there are different forms of nearness, connection. There are different forms in the Sharia. Like we gave the example of al-itq. Freeing a slave connects that freed slave to the one who has bought him freedom. So you'll be hearing like the very, very popular tabi'i and the sheikh of al-imamu Malik, Nafi', is popularly referred to as what? Mawla ibn Umar. Nafi' Mawla ibn Umar. So Nafi' is referred to as Mawla and ascribed to Abdullah ibn Umar. He was a slave for about 15 years and he freed him. He became a part of the household. He became a part of the knowledge of Abdullah ibn Umar. In an asar, it was reported that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he used to consider Nafi as a gift of Allah to him, radiyallahu anhuma. He says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا بِنَافِي. Allah has granted us favors, bounties, by giving us Nafi. Nafi became so knowledgeable amongst those who were with Abdullah ibn Umar, more than even his children, like Salim and Abdullah. Nafi became a carrier of the knowledge of Abdullah ibn Umar, and he would not like to be sold out to anybody. He would not like to be ascribed to anybody except to his master who freed him, Abdullah ibn Umar, radiallahu anhu, so much that his asl almost became forgotten. His surname became almost unknown. Why? Because of his connection and ascription, connection to Abdullah ibn Umar. But don't forget, this connection of Nafi is the connection of al-itq, is the connection of freedom from slavery. He was with them as a serviceman, as a bondsman. He became free and became ascribed to Abdullah ibn Umar. And he preferred that ascription because that's an ascription to the beloved companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he was asked what was his name, he was saying, it just suffices that you refer to me as what? Mawla ibn Umar. So one way of ascription, one way of connecting, apart from the ties of kingship, is the connection that has to do with being a servant or a bondsman or woman of a group of a family. Then that person can connect himself to that family or to that clan. Another way of al-wala that we have known in the Sharia is al-wala'u, wala'u al-Islam. For example, someone accepts Islam from me. For example, may Allah make it easy for me to gain this kind of a virtue many times. If someone ascribes, gets his Islam from me, I spoke to him and he became interested in Islam and accepts Islam from me, he can connect himself to me. This connection is a connection of accepting his Islam from me, because his acceptance of Islam is like freedom from slavery. It's like freedom from servitude to human beings, to servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So al-wala is also, could also come from the aspect of a person accepting Islam from a particular person in a particular clan. Like the one of the grandfathers of al-Imam al-Bukhari, al-Mughira. We remember that when we discussed al-Imam al-Bukhari, we mentioned his grandfather to be what? Al-Mughira. And al-Mughira is al-Ju'fi Mawlahu. He is al-Ju'fi Mawlahum. He is al-Ju'fi. If we didn't add Mawlahum, the perception would have is that al-Mughira is from, he has an ascription to al-Ju'fi. But the case is not like that. So when we say Mawla, we know it is one of the ways of Al-Wala that has connected Mughira to that ascription, Al-Jurfi. So how did he gain Al-Jurfi? He gained that ascription, Al-Jurfi, from the former governor of the governorate, that time, Abu Yaman Al-Jurfi. Mughira accepted Islam from who? Abu Yaman Al-Jurfi. So that's why Al-Mughira became Al-Mughira. So when we say, mention the name of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, we will say Muhammad ibn Ismail ibn Ibrahim ibn Mughira Al-Jurfi Mawlahum. So Mughira became Al-Jurfi Mawlahum. How? He accepted Islam from Abu Yaman Al-Jurfi. So he has an ascription to Abu Yaman or to the tribe from where Abu Yaman has come from. Why? Al-Mughira accepted Islam from Al-Jurfi. This is another type of a connection. So accepting Islam from an individual is a big thing in Islam. It connects the one who has accepted Islam to the person from whom Allah favored him with accepting Islam. Another way of a connection that could make a person become Mawla and then get a connection apart from Al-Itq is what? Al-Islam. And then we mention Al-Hilf, that is mutually agreeing to protect one another and become a means of benefit to one another. So if my family and your family agree to come together to protect ourselves and to pursue common good and avoid common evil from ourselves, we are mawla to one another. But the mawla in this case is wala'u al-hilf. It is called the connection as a result of an agreement between the two parties. Like the father of Huzaifa ibn al-Yaman, he has a connection, like Suhaib al-Rumi. He has a connection with the people in Makkah. There are many companions who had these kinds of connection, like Hatib ibn Abi Baltar, in the story where a letter was said to have been written to the people of Makkah in hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib, that he was telling his family that the Prophet was coming, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In that case, it was a hilf between Hatib ibn Abi Baltar and the family that he was writing the letter to. So there could be an agreement between two huge families, two clans, that look, we'll be protecting ourselves, we'll make common good, we'll help ourselves upon goodness, and we'll protect evil from ourselves as much as both parties are able. So they become mawla to one another by connection. So the connection in Islam, apart from the connection of family, apart from the connection of marriage, we could also have these kinds of connections. And they are also connected to our family, either because they were slaves, the person was a slave who became free from slavery, or that the person accepted Islam from the one who was his owner, who had owned him as a slave, or that the person has a family, and this family has a connection with the other clan, that this clan will protect him, and then that kind of a person can be ascribed to that clan. So this is what we are talking about. Al-Imam al-Bukhari says, Ahalil Mawla, can a freed slave or a person who had accepted Islam from a group of people, can he say in me, min fulan, can he say I am from so-so and so tribe? Can he say so without clarification? Can Nafi say I am from the children of Umar radiallahu anhu and his family? They used to be referred to as Al-Umari. Can he ascribe himself to them without clarification? Is it allowed for a freed slave or for a person like Al-Jurfi, Mughira, ascribing himself with Al-Jurfi without saying Mawlahu, without clarifying the kind of ascription? Is this allowed in Islam? And we have similar things in from where we have come from, many of us in our tribe, Yoruba. A child may be born in that family and is not from that family. Perhaps his father was a slave, so he became born in that family. Can he bear the name of that family without clarification? So these kinds of things happen. How do we handle it in the Sharia? Can a person who is only connected to us by wala, and we had explained how connection by wala could be, it could be as a result of freedom from slavery, it could be as a result of accepting Islam, it could be as a result of a treaty between two families. Can that person who is ascribed to the family, can he ascribe to that family without clarifying, the way of his ascription? Can he ascribe to them the way one of their sons can ascribe to them? This is the question that we seek to discuss under this chapter heading. And Al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported this hadith from his Shaykh Musa ibn Ismail at-Tabuzaki Abu Salama rahimahullah. Qala haddathana Abdul Wahid ibn Ziyad. Qala haddathana Wa'il ibn Dawud al-Laythi. Wa'il ibn Dawud al-Laythi. Qala haddathana Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Habib. In my nuskha, it has Ibn Abi Habib. But in some of the prints, it has Ibn Habib. In some of the prints, in the print of Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani, it has Ibn Habib. And in this print by our Sheikh, Sheikh Samir ibn Amin al-Suhairi, that you will find on the screen, it has Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Habib. It has Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Habib. But in some of the prints, like I explained in the print of Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani, it has Abdul Rahman ibn Habib. If you go back to Tahzib al-Kamal fi Asma' al-Rijal by Al-Hafiz Jamaluddin al-Mizzi, he is a 7th century scholar of Islam who has gathered the biography of the scholars of Hadith. It has Ibn Habib, just like what you have in the text of Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah, Ibn Habib. So the writing, the acceptance, what Sheikh al-Albani has affirmed in his tahqiq on Al-Adab al-Mufrad was Ibn Habib. That is the same thing that Al-Hafiz Jamaluddin al-Mizzi, and that is the oldest of what I have found regarding this name. So suffice for now with Ibn Habib. That's what I have found in the tahqiq of Dr. Bashar Awad Ma'roof on Tahzib al-Kamal by Al-Hafiz al-Mizzi, so we can conveniently say Ibn Habib and not Ibn Abi Habib. I have even listened to some of the scholars, like Sheikh Raslan, Hafizahullah. One time he will call him Ibn Habib, at another time he will call him Ibn Abi Habib. He had used both of them. But some of us among the scholars have stuck to Ibn Habib, while some of them also stuck to Ibn Abi Habib. But the oldest from amongst those that I have seen discussing the name of this reporter of Hadith was Al-Hafiz al-Mizzi in Tahzib al-Kamal, and he has employed what? Ibn Habib. So I think we can suffice with that for now, that the name of this reporter is Abdul Rahman Ibn Habib. Qala, qala li Abdullah ibn Umar, mimman ant? قلت من تيم تميم قال من أنفسهم أو من مواليهم قلت من مواليهم قال فهلا قلت من مواليهم إذن فهلا قلت من مواليهم إذن قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا موسى بن إسماعيل قال حدثنا عبد الواحد بن زياد قال حدثنا وائل ابن داود الليثي قال حدثنا عبد الرحمن ابن حبيب قال لي عبد الله بن عمر ممن أنت قلت من تيم تميم قال من أنفسهم أو من مواليهم قلت من مواليهم قال فهلا قلت من مواليهم إذن. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported from Musa ibn Ismail, who reported from Abdul Wahid ibn Ziyad. Al-Imam Abdul Wahid ibn Ziyad, kana min al-a'lam. He was from among the well-known leading scholars at the time, Abdul Wahid ibn Ziyad. And he was reported to be very, very pious and he has serious abstinence for the issues of sin. He was far away from committing evils. May Allah protect all of us. He was a very righteous person. He was reporting this hadith from Wa'il ibn Dawud al-Laythi. Wa'il ibn Dawud al-Laythi, rahimahullah, said, Haddathana Abdul Rahman ibn Habib. Haddathana Abdul Rahman ibn Habib. So the tabi'i of this asar is Abdul Rahman ibn Habib. The one who was reporting from the companion is Abdul Rahman ibn Habib. Abdul Rahman ibn Habib was the one reporting from Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما. عبد الرحمن بن حبيب said, قال لي عبد الله بن عمر. عبد الله بن عمر asked me, ممن أنت؟ From which clan are you? ممن, from which tribe are you? From which tribe are you? So when Ibn Umar asked and inquired from Abdul Rahman Ibn Habib what tribe he is from or which clan he is from, قلت من تيم تميم. He said, I am from تيم تميم. So Abdullah Ibn Umar asked further, من أنفسهم, are you from their Kitan king? Are you from one of them? Are you a brother, for example? Or are you a son? Are you a cousin from amongst them? Min anfusihim, are you from their lineage? Are you from one of them? You have their blood running in your body. Min anfusihim, are you from amongst them? Aw min mawali, aw you are from those who are connected to them by wala. That is, are you a freed slave from them? Or are you, did you accept Islam from them? Or your father accepted Islam from them? Or are you a person who has a treaty with them? These are how they can become from their mawali. Are you min anfusihim? Are you from their, one of them? Are you from amongst them that their blood runs in your blood? Aw min mawalihim. Or are you connected to them by what? By wala. And we had explained how a person may be connected to a people by wala. Kultu, he answered, mimma walihim. I am one of their freed slaves. So Abdurrahman ibn Habib was the freed slave from Taymu Tamim. So, but when Abdullah ibn Umar asked from which clan are you, he answered from Taymu Tamim. So Ibn Umar went further, from Taym Tamim. What's the explanation? How? Are you from Taym Tamim by blood? Or you are from Taym Tamim by wala? And then he says, Mimma wali, I am from one of their street slaves. Then Abdullah ibn Umar now told him, radiyallahu anhuma, fa'alla kulta mimma walihim even, fa'alla kulta. Shouldn't you have now said, in that case, since you are from their mawali, shouldn't you have said, I am one of their mawali? Meaning that it was not appropriate for him to have simply generalized being from them without what? Clarification. He could not have said, I am from Taymu Tanim, without saying that I am from their mawali. So that was why he sought that clarification. How are you from Taymu Tanim? Are you from Taymu Tamim from the aspect that you are from amongst them, you have their blood running in between you like their son or their uncle or their cousin? How are you connected to Taymu Tamim? Are you connected by blood or you are connected by wala? Then he says, I am connected to Taymu Tamim by wala. In that case, ta'alla kulta mimma walihim idhan. Shouldn't you have now said, oh, I'm connected to Taymu Tamim wala an, yani mawla Taymi Tamim. I am mawla Taymi Tamim. I am not, don't say I am from Taymu Tamim without clarifying your connection with what? Taymu Tamim. I hope that this matter is clear. Yes, he's connected to them. And it's a connection that the Sharia recognizes. But it is not appropriate that someone who is connected to a people by wala gives a picture as if he is connected to them bin nasab, by blood, and direct the ascription of lineage. If you are connected to them by wala, as we have explained al-wala, don't give a general impression that you are connected to them from their nasab or from their nisba. This is not appropriate. The appropriate is, yes, you are connected to them, but you make it clear, wala an. So that is, it means by any of the forms of al-wala, like al-Imam al-Bukhari's great-grandfather will be referred to as what? Al-Mughira al-Ju'fi mawlahum. You always find this kind of an ascription, and they will clarify that it's by wala. So it is not appropriate to generalize ascription and connection to a clan without properly stating the kind of ascription and connection that we have with that family and clan. I hope that this point is clear. This is what Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah sought to clarify under this chapter heading. While discussing our lineage, there are still a group of people who could be connected to us, but that connection is usually either from one of the ways of what? Al-Wala. So if it is by Wala, it should be clarified that my connection to so and so family is by what? It's by Wala. It is not by what? By Nasab. I hope that the point is clear. But there's an issue with this hadith because Abdurrahman ibn Hadid was an unknown reporter from among his majhul. So the hadith is mentioned to be a weak hadith, but it has many other things that the scholars have mentioned in the Sharia regarding this matter itself. And it is appropriate as the Imam has stated. So he said it here, Rahimahullah, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, Muhammad ibn Ismail, ibn Ibrahim, ibn al-Mughira, al-Ju'fi, Mawlahum, or Mawlahum al-Ju'fi, Rahimahumullah. So this is, with respect to this chapter, I think conveniently we can move to the next chapter. Babu Mawla al-Qawmi min anfusihim. Babun aw babu Mawla al-Qawmi min anfusihim. The chapter about the fact that a person has al-wala from a people. Who are min hum? He is also a part of them. He is also connected to them. The first chapter makes us understand that if you are connected to them by al-wala, clarify the connection. But here it's now restating again that that does not mean that there is no connection. So he is from amongst them. Mawla al-qawmi min anfusihim. The freed slave of a clan. The freed slave of a clan is one of them. The freed slave of a clan is one of them. The freed slave of a tribe is one of them. The one who has accepted Islam from a clan is one of them. But don't forget, as we have clarified in the earlier chapter, wala, that ascription, that connection is by what? Al-wala. It is different from the connection of what? Al-nasab. So this chapter tends to make us understand that, yes, these people are still part of them. They are still connected to them. Of course, they still inherit from them. Because from the ways of inheritance is by what? Being a freed slave of a particular tribe. So if a person is a freed slave of a particular tribe, like Nasri was to Abdullah, you know, it could still have issues of inheritance between both parties. That is discussed in details in the issues of inheritance. So this chapter makes us understand that they are still connected to their masters or those who bought them freedom from slavery. I hope that this explanation makes us understand what this chapter heading is about. Babu Mawla al-Qawmi min anfusihim. The chapter regarding the fact that the freed slave of a people is from amongst them, is still connected to them. Even though when he ascribes himself to them, it has to be clarified. The mode of ascription and connection should be clarified. It should not be given like an impression of a connection of a blood and lineage. Allahu alam. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported this hadith from his Shaykh Amr ibn Khalid. So Amr ibn Khalid said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Zuhair, Qala Haddathana Abdullah ibn Uthman, Qala Akhbarani Ismail ibn Ubaid, An Abihi Ubaid, An Rifa'a ibn Rafi'. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال لعمر رضي الله عنه اجمع لي قومك فجمعهم فلما حضروا باب النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم دخل عليه عمر فقال قد جمعت لك قومي فسمع ذلك الأنصار فقالوا قد نزل في قريش الوحي فجاء المستمع والناظر ما يقال لهم فخرج النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقام بين أظهرهم فقال هل فيكم من غيركم قالوا نعم فينا حليفنا وابن أختنا وموالينا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم حليفنا منا وابن أختنا منا وموالينا منا وأنتم تسمعون إن أوليائي منكم المتقون فإن كنتم أولئك فذاك وإلا فانظروا ولا يأتي الناس بالأعمال يوم القيامة وتأتون بالأثقال فيعرض عنكم ثم نادى فقال يا أيها الناس ورفع يديه يضعهما على رؤوس قريش أيها الناس إن قريشا أهل أمانة من بغى بهم قال زهير أظنه قال العوافر كبه الله لمن خريه يقول ذلك ثلاث مرات كبه الله لمن خريه كبه الله لمن خريه كبه الله لمن خريه. This hadith is a story of an incident that happened in Medina. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith firstly has been reported by Imam al-Bukhari from his Shaykh Amr ibn Khalid. He was reporting from his own Shaykh Zuhair. Imam Zuhair, Zuhair ibn Muawiyah, is a well-known scholar of hadith. Rahimahullah. Qala haddathana Abdullah ibn Uthman. Abdullah ibn Uthman is Abu Uthman al-Qari. He was a reciter and a teacher of the Quran. Abdullah ibn Uthman. He said, Akhbarani Ismail ibn Ubaidillah ibn Rifa'a. Ismail ibn Ubaid. Ismail ibn Ubaid is Ismail ibn Ubaidillah ibn Rifa'a al-Zuraki. Ismail ibn Ubaidillah ibn Rifa'a. Ismail ibn Ubaidillah ibn Rifa'a al-Zuraki. An Abihi Ubaid. So Ismail reported from his father Ubaidullah. Ubaidullah ibn Rifa'a is the name of his father Ubaid. And Ubaid was also reporting from his own father Rifa'a ibn Rafi. Rifa'a ibn Rafi radiyallahu anhu Abu Mu'az al-Ansari. Rifa'a ibn Rafi. Abu Mu'az al-Ansari is the father of Ubaidillah, from whom Ismail had reported the hadith. So Ismail reported from his own father, and the father reported from his own father. Anna an-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam qala li Umar, that the Prophet one day sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa alihi wa sallam said to Umar radiyallahu anhu, ijma'li qawmak. Ijma'li qawmak. Gather your people. Gather the muhajirun. Because this incident occurred in Medina. Gather the muhajirun. Gather Quraysh. Gather them. Call the people of Quraysh. Invite all of them here. So Umar radiallahu anhu went and gathered the people radiallahu anhu. Fajama'ahum. Umar then gathered the people. I think it's necessary that we mention the points of benefit in this hadith as we proceed, because we may not have the full time to come back to it. But let's first of all grab the meaning of this hadith to give a good picture when we draw the points of benefit from it, inshallah. So we go on, bismillah, trying to understand what the hadith, what the story is about. Fajama'ah, Umar then gathered the people, radiallahu anhu. فَلَمَّا حَضَرُوا بَابَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. After the people gathered at the door of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, دَخَلَ عَلَيْهِ عُمَرُ فَقَالَ قَدْ جَمَعْتُ لَكَ قَوْمِي. Umar went into the house and invited the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, saying that قَدْ جَمَعْتُ لَكَ قَوْمِي. I have gathered my people. I have gathered Quraysh. رضي الله عنهم فسمع ذلك الأنصار. The people of Medina, who are residents in Medina before the Muhajirun came, before Quraysh came to Medina, they heard about the invitation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Quraysh. فقالوا, and then they started to say, قد نزل في قريش الوحي, يعني عن قريش الوحي. Revelation has come down regarding Quraysh. Allah has sent down something regarding Quraysh. They thought that it was because Allah had revealed particular instructions regarding Quraysh, was why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered Umar to gather the people of Quraysh alone. And he didn't say gather all the people, he gather Quraysh alone. So the people began to think that Allah has sent down particular revelation fi Quraysh, yani an Quraysh, regarding Quraysh. فَجَاءَ الْمُسْتَمِعُ وَالنَّازِرُ. So some of the people came to hear الْمُسْتَمِعُ. جَاءَ الْمُسْتَمِعُ وَالنَّازِرُ. Some of the people came to see, some of the people came to hear. فَجَاءَ الْمُسْتَمِعُ وَالنَّازِرُ. So some of the people came to hear what are the instructions for Quraysh. Some of the people came to see what will happen. Just people came to hear and see what the Prophet would say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma yuqalu lahum, what will be said to Quraysh. People of Medina, everybody gathered, let's go and hear, let's go and see what will be said to Quraysh. فَخَرَجَ النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet then emerged to the gathering, alayhi salatu wa sallam. فَقَامَ بَيْنَ أَظْهُرِهِ. The Prophet now stood amongst them, meaning now he has also stood amongst the Quraysh. Is now standing amongst, in the middle of the people of Quraysh. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala hal fikum min ghayrikum. The Prophet now asked the people out. He announced asking the people, hal fikum min ghayrikum. Do you have in your midst now people who are not of you? Do you have in the middle of you now people, anyone? For example, who is not Quraysh? You have anyone who is not Quraysh here? This is one evidence that the Prophet himself was Quraysh, alayhi salatu wasalam, because he came in the middle of Quraysh and was asking Quraysh, do you now have anyone who is not from amongst you? There are points of benefit that the scholars have mentioned regarding this, that an individual can invite family matter, can invite the members of the family, kith and kin, far and near. You are all from our family, or the family related to our family, or family connected to our family, like that. You could call everybody to a gathering for a common good and common benefit. So family members can invite themselves. Sometimes our brothers could say, oh, when they are invited to family members, they can say, do we hear the Salaf saying that they are inviting themselves to family meetings? This is what you have heard now. The Salaf used to do it. And the head of the Salaf was upon it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was in Medina and he invited the members of Quraysh. Don't forget that Allah had told him in the Quran, وَأَنْذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. So he did that when he was in Mecca, alayhi salatu wasalam. We had explained this verse in the previous section. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was commanded to warn his family, his near relatives. So he's also inviting them again. It was not something he did on one occasion and it ended. This is one evidence that over time, whenever he had a need to discuss with Quraysh, he gathered them and discussed with them. He gathered them and admonished them. He gathered them and warned them that they should not be dissuaded by the fact that I am Quraysh and the Prophet was Quraysh. So that will make them think that they don't need to do good deeds. We are coming back to that, because that's also one of the points of benefit in this hadith. But the point we are emphasizing, highlighting here, is the fact that it is lawful to call a family gathering. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Medina and he called Quraysh. He asked Umar, go and gather Quraysh. So you may be in a country, you may be in a city, you may be somewhere, and then the people from your tribe are called for benefits of deen. For deen benefits, yes, you can gather the people. Because every form of gathering the people upon disobedience to Allah is itself unlawful. So if the gathering is upon obedience to Allah, then such a gathering is lawful. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now asks, when he came in the middle of the people, hal fikum min ghayrikum, do we have anyone amongst in this gathering who is from another tribe, who is not Quraysh? Do we have anyone? Qalu na'am. The people said, yes, we have. Fina halifuna. We have those who, when you said Quraysh, they have all come to join us, but they are our halif. Don't forget. One of the ways of al-wala is by what? Al-hilf, by agreement. We have those that have agreed with Quraysh to protect Quraysh, to achieve common goodness with Quraysh. But they are not actually from the lineage of Quraysh. We have our halif amongst us. So they answered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَابْنُ أُخْتِنَا, we have the sons of our sisters with us. The sons of our sisters, we also have them with us. Because the people did not used to consider them as from the basic family, the sons of women, as we would call them in our own community. Omo Obinrin said, is the son of a woman. The son of a woman, yes, he will be ascribed to the family of his father because they own basic ascription. But he's also connected to us. So we have them here with us. Wamawalina. And then we have our mawlas, our freed slaves. They are also with us because they also have a connection with us. This answer that they have given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they considered these people not to be from Quraysh, even though they are with us, and they also connect to us. But the Prophet is asking a connection of blood. Do we have from amongst us those who are not from amongst us? The people understood it that the Prophet was asking a question of blood connection. So they say, yeah, we have amongst us here. Yes, they are also Quraysh, because they are connected to Quraysh one way or the other. Some of them are people who have hilf with us, who have an agreement of protection with us. We also have our freed slaves with us. We also have, so they did not consider those people from them, basically. And then the Prophet connected, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that these people are still connected to you, alayhi salatu wa sallam. Don't forget, in the previous chapter, we say, yes, the people are connected to them, but it must always be with clarification. But here, the Prophet was emphasizing, alayhi salatu wa sallam, that the people are still from you, even though it is through all of these connections. Faqala nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sought to clarify that even though these people are as you have described, they are still connected to you. They are still a part of you. The sons of your daughters are still part of you. Those that you have made agreements with are still part of you. Those that you have freed from slavery are still part of you. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought to correct that. Then he said, halifuna minna, alayhi salatu wa sallam, halifuna minna, those with whom we have treaties and are called our allies, minna, they are also a part of us, Quraysh. Wabnu ukhtina minna, the children of our daughters, the children of our sisters are also part of us. There are in fact clear ahadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in which he said, ibnu ukhtil qawm minhum, ibnu ukhtil qawm minhum, the son of the sister of a particular people is also what? A part of them. The Prophet is explaining that, yes, they still have connections with us, alayhi salatu wassalam. Wa mawalina, and this is the point of reference in this hadith, mawalina minna, and our freed slaves are also part of us. Our freed slaves are also part of us. Our freed slaves are also connected to us. So if someone asks you, what is the evidence that freed slaves are still connected to the family that has freed them? You say the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that mawalina minna, our freed slaves are still connected to us. But when they mention that ascription, as we had read in the previous chapter, they will mention it that there are mawali to us, but they are still connected to us. So this hadith here affirms the fact that our mawali, our people who have al-wala with us, they are still what? They are still connected to us. This is the point of reference for which this hadith has been mentioned. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the gathering of Quraysh, and he says to them, halifuna minna, the people who have alliance, our allies are part of us, they are still connected to us. Wabnu ukhtina minna, the sons of our sisters are also part of us. Wa mawalina minna, And then our freed slaves are also connected to us. They're also a part of us. Don't forget, when the freed slaves now describe their ascription to us, it must be clarified that the ascription is an ascription of what? Al-Wala, and not an ascription of what? Al-Nasab. That was what we discussed in the preceding chapter, and this is the point of reference in this hadith. So when Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Babu Mawla al-Qawmi min anfusihim, the chapter regarding the fact that the freed slave of a people is part of them, meaning that he is connected to them. The point of reference in this hadith that proves that chapter heading is a statement of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, that what? Mawalina minna. This is something we should hold on to. That mawalina minna. Our mawlas, our freed slaves are also a part of us. People who accepted Islam from us are also a part of us. This is the kind of connection that we have. فَإِن كُنْتُمْ أُولَٰئِكِ. Then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, وَأَنْتُمْ تَسْمَعُونَ. Now listen to the instructions that I have. After discussing the composition of the gathering, those who make that gathering, the Prophet now wanted to give the instruction. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. What the Ansar had come to see and hear, they want to start and see, to see and hear it now. Even though they had also gained from the statement that Ibn Uqtina minna, the children, the sons of our sisters are from us. Halifuna minna, those with whom we have treaties and our allies, they are also from us. We had agreed from time within the families that we'll be protecting ourselves. We share common good amongst ourselves. We will share common benefits amongst us. So they are also from us. They are connected to us. All the people had benefited from this. But now there are other issues. The major instructions for that gathering, the major reasons why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the gathering. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, listen to me, wa antum tasma'un. You all should be in a condition now that you direct your listening, you direct your attention towards me. Inna awliya'i minkum al-muttaqoon. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. He said, inna awliya'i minkum, my beloved ones. Amongst all of you are Quraysh. I'm Quraysh like you. You have your Halif, you have your Mawali, you have your Ibn Akhwat with you. But of all of you, gathered here, Inna Awliya Imin, those who are my friends, those who are my beloved ones from amongst you, Al Muttaqoon, they are those who fear Allah. Meaning that to be from amongst the people of Taqwa is more important than any kind of family considerations that you can have. Inna awliya'i minkum. Yes, all of you are from Quraysh, but the best of you that I love, they are those who fear Allah subhanahu. They are those who observe the limits of Allah publicly and privately. This is the meaning of Taqwa. You do something by which Allah takes you away from his punishment. When you do something by which Allah takes you away from his punishment, it means you are taking upon taqwa. When you observe salah, you want to move away from the punishment of Allah. When you fast Ramadan, you are moving away from Allah's anger. When you make hajj, you are seeking means of gaining rewards to move away from Allah's anger. All of these things are deeds of taqwa. Likewise, when you abstain from the things that Allah has prohibited, your abstinence is also a means of earning taqwa. So when someone bought something by which Allah will protect him from punishment, we say he has taken to the deeds of taqwa, and he is muttaqi. He is taqi. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified and announced to the people, Inna awliya'i minkum Al-Muttaqoon, from amongst you, Quraysh, my beloved and the best of you to me, my friends amongst you, those with whom I really, really seek nearness, and they are near to me, those who are really near to me, Al-Muttaqoon, they are those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fa in kuntum ula'ik fazak, if you are the pious, if you are from the righteous people, فذاك يعني فذاك حسن then that is okay if you are pious that is okay that is good ذاك المطلوب ذاك الحسن ذاك المستحسن this is what is encouraged this is what is good if you are from amongst the pious it means that it does not suffice to say I'm Quraysh I'm connected to the lineage of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one way or the other and the person is not a person of taqwa some people think that oh I'm from let me be very frank regarding this some people think and say that I'm from Ilorin so they do what they do when you correct them oh this is bad this is not correct this is not from the sun say look I'm from Ilorin being from a particular place does not make you anything until you are a pious person The prophet was announcing to his own relatives that you are my relatives is not what matters. What matters exactly is that people of. Now imagine people of Taqwa who are also relatives of the Prophet. This is double benefits. But just merely being a relative of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and not being upon iman is not a praiseworthy thing at all. Abu Lahab was an uncle of the Prophet. Paternal uncle, he still became accursed forever when the prophet was giving the order wa anzir ashiratak al aqrabin invite your kith and kin those who are near to you the prophet did so alayhi salam and when the prophet was telling the people about la ilaha illallah abu lahab cursed the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tabban laka ya muhammad amma da'awtana li ghayri hadha may curse be upon you muhammad Couldn't you have called us for any other than? And then he became Costa Batia da Abi Lahab bin Watab. Abu Lahab was a relative of the Prophet. He's an uncle of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. Still, he became cursed because he was far away from Taqwa. So that's why the Prophet said to the people, فَإِن كُنْتُمْ أُولَٰئِكِ If you are from amongst the pious people, إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءِ فِنْكُمْ أَلْمُتَّقُونَ Those who are my friends from amongst you, Quraysh. They are those who fear Allah. فَإِنْ كُنْتُمْ أُولَٰئِكِ If you are those who are pious and righteous, فَذَاكْ Then that is okay. That is good. That is what we want. That is what Allah has encouraged. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ So he says, if you are from amongst those people, فَذَاكْ وَإِلَّا But if you are not from amongst the righteous, فَانْظُرُوا Think well. Consider it well. This is a statement of a warning to them. Fanzuru. Yani think about the evil repercussions of not being upon taqwa. Is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is telling his kith and kin from Quraysh when he was present in their midst that if they are not people of taqwa, then they should think about the repercussions of not being upon taqwa, despite the fact that they are connected to him by lineage. Then how about the rest of the people? So I'll say, if you are from Ilorin, think well. Think about the repercussions of acting against Taqwa. Because being from a particular place will not make any benefit to an individual on the day of Qiyamah if he was a person acting against Taqwa. So don't act against Taqwa. That is, don't be a disobedient human being. Be an obedient one. In other ahadith from amongst the Arba'un that many of us would have studied, and memorize. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wassalam, man batta'a bihi amaluhu, lam yakun li yusri'a bihi nasabuhu, man batta'a bihi amaluhu. Whoever is drawn backwards by his own good deeds, by his own evil deeds, his evil deeds had drawn him or her backwards. Lam yakun li yusri'a bihi nasabuhu. His lineage cannot push him forward. The fact that, oh, my father is Imam, it doesn't matter if you are self, you yourself, your behaviors and your personality is antithetical to that of a person being an Imam. Oh, my uncle is a scholar. I've heard this a lot from a number of people. I was born in a home of scholars, but you are far away from knowledge. I've heard this a lot. Say, my father was a scholar. If your father was a scholar, what are you? What are you? Are you a scholar? Is knowledge inherited? You don't inherit knowledge. Inheritance in terms of sharing money and car and houses. The way you share the money and the car and houses of your parents. Knowledge is not so inherited. Al-ilmu bita'allum. Knowledge is acquired by learning it and studying it. So the mere fact that your daddy was a scholar, your uncle was a scholar, my auntie was a learned person, it does not make you learned until you have followed the path of knowledge. Likewise, my father was a righteous person, my mother was a righteous person, does not make you righteous until you yourself as an individual, you follow the path of righteousness. The same thing. My family, there are a lot of righteous people there. I know a politician, a serving politician who has a younger sister who is a hafiz of Quran, mustaqima ala diniha, inshallah. This sister is mustaqima. That politician was saying that whatever evil he commits as a politician, he hopes that on the day of Qiyamah, he will just jump into the jilbab of his younger sister. So she will carry him into Al-Jannah. This is very wrong thinking. He himself has to be of piety. Here is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam declaring to his people that inna awliya'i minkum, my friends, my beloved ones amongst you, O Quraysh, al-muttaqun, they are those who fear Allah. Fa in kuntum ulaika fazak, if you are from among those people, then that's okay. Wa illa, if not, fanzuru, think about the consequences of not being upon taqwa. Wa la ya'ti an-nasu bil a'mali yawm al-qiyamah, so that the people do not come with good deeds on the day of qiyamah. Wa ta'tuna bil afqal, but you, because you are close to me, you come with afqal, burdens of sins. You say, oh, the Prophet is from amongst us now. The Prophet is our son. The people will listen to the Prophet and become from the people of righteousness and come on the day of Qiyamah with righteous deeds. But you are going to come on the day of Qiyamah with evil sins, with the burdens of sins. Don't let that happen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was warning his relatives, for you or other and come. Because if you do that, you will be avoided. You will be shunned. Summa nada faqala. Thereafter, the Prophet called us again. Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya ayyuhannas, O people. Wa rafa yadayhi yada'ahuma ala ru'usi Quraysh. The Prophet raised his hands while he was in the midst of Quraysh. He raised up his hands as if to place his hands on the heads of the people. Say, O Quraysh. The Prophet did so, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He then said, Ayyuhannas, O people, inna Quraishan, these people of Quraysh, ahlu amanatin, they are a people of trust. Quraysh, they are a people of trust. This also shows that if you have come from a family and you have a thing of virtue, that when it is mentioned, people know it, and it will become a means of encouraging them towards good deeds. They mention it. Mention that good thing that's in your family. If it is something that mentioning it will encourage goodness in that circumstance, then mention it. So the Prophet wanted, after warning Quraysh, he wanted to mention a virtue of the people of Quraysh. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, inna Quraysh ahlu amana. Quraysh are a people of trust. They are people of amana. Man baga bihim. Whoever seeks from them, whoever seeks from Quraysh, call a Zuhair. One of the scholars in the chain of reports, Zuhair ibn Muawiyah, he says, أَظُنُّهُ قَالَ الْعَوَافِرِ يَعْنِي مَنْ بَغَى بِهِمُ الْعَوَافِرِ. Whoever seeks from Quraysh, pitfalls. Awafir is the plural of what? Asur. Asur are like holes. In the desert in those days, Arabs used to dig holes, expecting that when a lion crosses, moves around that hole, he falls into that hole. So like a pitfall, whoever searches and sets a trap for Quraysh. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kabbahullahu limin kharayhi, kabbahullahu limin kharayhi, kabbahullahu limin kharayhi. The Prophet repeated it 3 times, kabbahullahu limin kharayhi, kabbahullahu limin kharayhi. Whoever seeks the pitfalls of Quraysh, kabbahullahu limin kharayhi, kabbahullahu limin kharayhi, kabbahullahu limin kharayhi. May Allah turn him down on his face in disgrace. May Allah turn him down on his face in disgrace. May Allah turn him down on his face in disgrace. But don't forget, Quraysh themselves, the best of them are those who are the people of taqwa and righteousness. And don't forget also, the point of reference mainly from this hadith today is that mawalina minna Our mawali are also part of us. Our freed slaves are also part of us. It's the main point of reference from this hadith. I think that we can stop here today, inshallah. And I think that the point is clear. Yes, our freed slaves, those who accepted Islam from us, those with whom we have our treaties, that is our allies, yes, they are part of us. But when they ascribe themselves to us or to our family, the ascription should be clear. It should be clear. It should not be an ascription in ambiguity. Because yes, even though they are connected to us, the connection is not like the connection of blood and nasab. This is what we have discussed today, inshallah. Beg Allah to make it beneficial to us. Because the time is fast spent, I like us to ask, even if it be a single question, inshallah, by Yusuf, even if it be a single question, we'll stop earlier tomorrow, inshallah, when we will start the discussions about our children. We'll start the discussions about our children tomorrow, inshallah. So even if it be a question, a single question, we'll take today before we call it today, inshallah. Aba Yusuf.
Amin. One says, what is the status of adopted child in terms of regarding ascription and inheritance?
We had discussed this matter about, I think the one we discussed in details, Nam, the one we discussed in details are issues on children out of wedlock. But children who were adopted, a man goes out, he hasn't a son or a daughter. If I understand what an adopted child or son or daughter is, then he gets a child from outside and brings that child home. They are not from our family. The adopted son is not from our lineage. The Sharia has is so clear about that. Regarding Zaid, we remember that Allah told us in the Quran that وَأُولِي الْأَرْحَامِ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ إِلَّا أَن تَفْعَلُوا إِلَى أَوْلِيَائِكُمْ مَعْرُوفًا كَانَ ذَلِكَ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَسْطُورًا وَأُولُو الْأَرْحَامِ lineage, kith and kin, بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلَى بِبَعْضٍ. They are the ones who have a nearness of varying degrees. According to the instructions of Allah, min al-mu'mini, they are ahead more than the general believers. So if that child was a child of a Muslim, the king and king are in front, not him. He is just a believer, a friend, a beloved one, as we could be. But the relatives, king and king, are those ones in front in the book of Allah. Illa an taf'alu ila awliya'i ma'rufa. Unless you want to, make wasiya for that person, for that beloved person. I give so-and-so gifts. You can do that. But in terms of inheritance, they are not a part of it. Because they don't belong to any of the groups. They are not slaves. They are not connected to us by marriage. They are not connected to us by blood. They do not belong in the category of those who can inherit. That's why a man can marry the wife of his adopted child, as you call it. If a man has a son, a boy, a man goes and adopts a boy. This boy grew up under your tutelage and marries a woman. If he divorces that woman, you can marry the woman. Why? He's not your brother. Why? He's not your brother. He's not any relative of you. A man can also adopt a girl, keep the girl, take care of the girl, and all of these. And then when the girl grows, and then he marries the girl. Many men who have this, they don't want to do it. And it is good some companions did that. And I will end with this hadith of Mughira ibn Shu'bah, radiallahu anhu, the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was given a girl to care for. So for him, that's an adoption. He cared for this girl. He took care of the girl, educated the girl, got the girl of a nice character, and the girl grew up, and he wanted to marry the girl. So he is the wali of the girl, and at the same time, he wants to be the husband of the girl. So he told one of the companions that he is feeding the wilaya. He is conceding the wilaya, that is the care, the authority to marry out. He wants to give it to that companion. If I remember, it was Abdurrahman ibn Auf. This hadith occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud. So he considered wilaya, but that companion said, no, you consider wilaya and then you become the husband. This is not lawful for you. So he rejected that confession. Mughira ibn Shuba then stood as both the wali and the husband. So if you pick up a girl, maybe her parents died, they are your friends, they were your neighbors, and they were good neighbors, you picked up that girl. The girl grew up under you, and all of these. And then the relatives give the wilaya to you. The husband, that man who has nurtured this girl to grow up, can be the wali, can also be the husband. But if he's not the wali, it does not prevent him from going to her family, her own blood relatives, and asking to marry the girl. But many times people start bringing stories and sentiments. Oh, she grew up under me. How can I marry a girl that has grown up under me? This is lawful in the Sharia. In fact, that you marry her is from the evidence. Without any evil from the very beginning, you have been a decent man. No evil, no insults, no abuses. The girl grew up under you, you took care of her, and then at the end of the day, you seek from her father or from her relatives to marry the girl. This kind of a thing is lawful in Sharia. There are no evil considerations regarding it. And the one who did this from amongst the companions was the one that we mentioned, Mughira ibn Shu'bah. We go to Nailul Awtar by Imam Shawkani of Mahullah. He gave a lot of explanations regarding this hadith of Mughira ibn Shu'bah radiallahu anhum. And I think it suffices that we stop here regarding this issue today. Bismillah, from tomorrow we'll be having discussions about daughters and sons and those others who are from our relatives, inshallah. I think we can stop here today, Abba Yusuf. Abba Yusuf. Perhaps his next network might have gone. I think we can stop here today. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.